What's up, good people? It's your man Lynn in the building. What's going on with y'all? Hope everything's good out there. Hope you're living blessed. I hope you're in front of the king's face getting it in, man. I want to welcome y'all to season 2, episode 1 of Give Me the Mic, raw and unrehearsed, y'all. Man, what's going on? It's been a minute since I sat down, had sup with y'all, man. I appreciate so many of y'all from so many different places, so many different countries, man, from coming, putting it down, listening to the series, man. Appreciate your love, appreciate your comments to me. I want to tell you I love y'all for that, man. Y'all keep praying for me, keep praying for my family, man. Keep praying for my shorties and, you know, just keep us in prayer, man, that God will continue to live in us and through us, man, and we'll keep putting it up for him, you know what I mean? So I just want to tell y'all, man, last year was a rough year for you, man. Man, losing my brother Tuck and my father, my grandfather, losing my aunt, and just was a lot going on emotionally, y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all know what emotions are. Emotions, man, they can be tough sometimes, man. Emotions can stop you in your tracks sometimes. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, like, freeze you, you know? And, man, let me tell you, when I decided that I was going to do, you know, Give Me the Mic, man, and I said, okay, Lynn, we got to put this thing out here. We got to keep it real. We got to make it relevant. You know, we got to go at it. And as soon as I got ready to go, my man Tuck passed away. And it was an emotional thing for me, man. And then I said, okay, well, we got to do it anyway. You know, and then my grandfather passed. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. And then my aunt passed, and I went down there and saw my family at the funeral, man. And it's just, man, God is powerful, man, at how he can affect a whole generation, of family, man, from my young cousins to my aunts and my uncle, all of us influenced by the gospel in one way or another, you know, because my grandmother decided to stand on God's word and pray for all of us. It's amazing at what can happen if you put God in the front of your family, man. But at any rate, you know, it was emotional for me. And you know, sometimes, you know, when you get emotional, you don't feel like doing nothing. And you wonder to yourself, I mean, what is this? Sometimes you go through things and there's obstacles and you can't figure out how to handle it. But you know what, man? Let me tell you something. Sometimes when you experience death, sometimes it gives you a better zeal for life. It makes you want to get up and say, okay, I lost my man like that. I got the stuff that I want to do. I got to get it in. You know, kind of like these people on these bucket list thing they got going on. Things they got to do before they die. Is you got to do it. And I'm saying to you as a believer, man, hey, look, whatever God gave you to do now, and you got to make sure it's what God gave you to do. Not just what you think you should do, but what God gave you to do. Whatever he gave you to do, you got to get to doing it, man. You got to get to doing it. Whatever your skills are, whatever he blessed you with, you got to get to using them. You can't just leave them on the sideline. And that's what I realized about my own life. I just got to do it. So, man, that's where I was, y'all. That's where I was praying. After we were finished with that first season, man, I was like, okay, Lord, I gotta come back and I gotta do better. I gotta be greater. I gotta do more. I gotta be stronger. I gotta be wiser, man. I gotta come with stuff that people can really resonate with, man. And that's what it's all about. So today, I'm gonna come out, man. And I'm gonna tell you right now what I'm gonna tell you today. Oh man, it's heavy, man. It's heavy. And I hope y'all ready. It's heavy stuff. So I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna start off by telling you this. And you got to follow me because I'm going somewhere with this. When I was growing up, right, I went to church. My mother made sure I went to church. She did. She would not let me stay at the house. My mother, even if she did not go to church, I had to go to church. That was the deal. Well, no, I didn't get no choice. Had to go to church. And I go to church and I hear all these people talking about all these things that these heathens were doing out in the world. And you know, half the things that they said that heathens were doing, they were doing themselves. But that's beside the point. So they talked about all these heathens and all of these things these heathens did, you know, having sex outside of marriage, smoking on cigarettes, drinking alcohol, drug addicts, pornography, all kinds of stuff was going down, man. And I just thought to myself, that's all I seemed like I heard when I went to church, you know. That's all it seems like I heard. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. You know, you get the preacher come to you, tell you, oh, You don't need to be on them clubs. Them clubs ain't no fun, no way. I tell you, the club is not fun. I used to say to myself, I wonder what club he going to. You know what I'm saying? What club is this guy going to? If he going, whatever club he need to go to, he need to change it. Because the one I'm going to, I enjoy. Come on now. I'm just here to keep it real with you. Hey, listen, man. To suggest that sin is not fun for a season would be naive. Okay? But the thing that would also be naive is believing that the fun is prosperous to you. You see what I'm saying? See, when it comes to sin being fun for a season, the real cost of sin is not presented to you at the door when you walk through. Uh-oh. I said it again for you. When it comes to sin, yes, sin is fun for a season. But the real cost of sin is not presented to you when you come to the door. Now, the pastor at the church that I was growing up, and there are many pastors now, he would always talk about the sin. And he would say, hey, yo, y'all ain't really having no fun. And people don't resonate with that because to them, they're having fun. So in order for us to be real and relevant, we got to be for real. There's fun in that. There's fun in that. But the price that you got to pay for it is not what they're charging you at the door. See, when you go to a typical club, right? If you go to a good club, it's like $20 to get in the door. If you ain't living in the city, maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $5. But listen, that's the price of admission. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's the price of admission. So you pay the price of admission. You go inside the place and there's all kinds of things in there for you to get involved in. Alcohol. You can smoke a little weed in the corner. There's probably some drugs going on in the bathroom. Some amphetamines. Some cocaine. Some all other kind of stuff going on. Getting chicks high so you can have sex with them. There's men in the place putting stuff in women's drinks to take them home and take advantage of them. And there's women doing the same thing to men. That's right. That's right. I said it. There's women doing the same thing to men. So there's all kinds of stuff going on in the place. Right? But see, the true cost of all of that is your life. And this is what I mean. You go out there, you give up yourself, right? Well, God didn't intend for you to give yourself to a man unless you were married to him. There's emotional consequences to that. By the time you get to the man that you're supposed to be with, you so jacked up sexually that you can't even be what you need to be to him because you done been everything to everybody else. Now, that's a price you gonna have to pay. That's the cost. That's the cost of being in the place. Now, listen, sclerosis is one of the top 5 killers of people on the planet. Sclerosis is a disease of the liver caused directly by alcohol consumption. Now, yes, it costs $20 to get into the club. And about what? What do you think? $7 to $14 per drink while you're in the club, unless you're drinking a brew. And sometimes the brew's $7. All right, I said it. Now, I know I done been there. I done been there. And to still meet a homie up at the spot. Oh, yes, I said it. That's right. It cost. Now, they'll give you all the alcohol you can take and stand up. And they'll have you out there every night if you let them. But eventually, it will break down your body. See, that's the true cost of the ownership. See, they don't tell us that. They don't tell the people that. But you know what? Even the people who are out there doing these so-called things of sin, when they get out of that fun season, they realize that they didn't recognize the cost that they would truly have to pay. They did not understand the true cost of going through those doors and doing everything they would do. They didn't understand it. They tried to be all cool about it, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. So I'm saying to you, stick with me. I'm going somewhere. So those are all the things that we used to talk about. And I thought to myself, man, Lord, come on, man. We got to reach these people. We got to reach these people. We can't become them and reach them. You know what I mean? We can't do that. We can't become that to reach that and then bring it back. We can't become sin to set somebody free from sin. We can't do that. All right? We're not Christ. And even Christ wasn't born into sin. Whoa. I said it. Christ wasn't born into sin. Whoo, Lord. Christ had to live a sin-free life in order to set us free from sin. So we can't go sin. So we got to understand what we're talking about here. But just stick with me because I'm going somewhere. You'll love it. So look, I'm thinking to myself, all right, Lord, help me reach my people. Help me be real and relevant with these people. You know what I mean? Help me be real and relevant. All right? So let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a couple of stories. You know, let me tell you a couple of stories here. And I'm going to describe something for you. So now look. You guys know the story about the lady that gets caught having sex with the dude. Adultery. And they bring her into the square. They bring her into the temple. Before Christ. And Christ, you know, the famous statement that people use. You know, let the one who sinned, who has no sin, cast the first stone. Y'all know that story. Well, there's some things I want you to pay attention to here, because this is the point of where I'm going. This is the thing that I'm getting to. Stay with me. This is the thing I'm getting to. Y'all gonna love it, man. This is the thing right here. So check it out. So listen, they pulled the chick up out of the bed. Now listen, y'all think she had time to take a shower? Or did she come out with sex on her? Y'all think she came? Y'all think she had time? Y'all think they gave her time to get a shower? Or did they pull out of there with the smell of sex on her? Whew. Brings her out to Jesus just the way she was. And then they try Jesus. It wasn't about the woman. Not for them. See, the Pharisees, those folks brung them out. They bring the female out, but it wasn't about her. They already knew what they could do with her based upon the law that they lived in. They already knew what they can do with her. But they want to try Jesus. Whew. What Jesus did is so revolutionary and so important to us. So after Jesus said what he said, and he asked the woman, hey, where are your accusers? She said, they are none, right? Yeah, that's right. That's what she said. And then Christ said, well, I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you either. And then tells her to go and sin no more. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Christ is at the well, Jacob's well. A Samaritan woman's out there. Now, Christ is by himself with this woman. Whew, now that's different, y'all. That's different. Christ is by himself with the woman. And Christ is at the well saying, hey, give me a drink, girl. Of course, he didn't say it like that, but hey, it sounds nice. So give me a drink. So they begin to conversate, and they get to the point in the conversation where Christ says, go and get your husband. Because see, Christ wants to share his, he's telling her, listen, I'm the living water. If you drink of me, you ain't gonna never be thirsty again. Now, of course, she's in the flesh at first. She's thinking about, well, oh, good, because I ain't got to drop down this bucket no more, get no water out of here. I ain't gonna thirst no more. This is great. But then he says to her, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have one. And then listen to what Christ says. You're right. You don't have one. You done had five husbands, and the man you with is not your husband. Wow. But the disciples show up, and they're like, what this dude doing? Why is Christ sitting up here? Why is Jesus sitting up here with this chick by himself? Why? There's a perception of how she is. Man, she done had five husbands. Let me tell you something. If you know a woman in your day and time that had five husbands, what do you think of that woman? What do you think? It is not a nice thought that you have about her. Let's keep it real, man. It's not a nice thought you have about this woman. Five husbands and the one you with ain't your husband? Man, you might, yeah, listen, I'm a caller. A lot of us will be saying, dang, she's just a hoe. What kind of hoe is this? Five husbands and another one that ain't even your husband? You out of control. Keep it real. That's what Christ is talking to. Those things, man. But now, Christ has offered her living water, and she runs off and goes against everybody from her village because she testifies. And she comes back, and Christ spends a couple of days there filling the people up with his word. Beautiful. Now, the things I want you to recognize in these two stories. Christ, to the woman who came into the temple and was caught in adultery. Jesus never said to her, "What is wrong with you, woman? Why are you in this man's house? Why are you in this woman's man's house? What are you doing? What kind of tricking are you doing? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? What are you doing? You are out of control." Jesus never said that to her, y'all. See, this is the thing that I want y'all to focus on. Jesus never said that to her. Now listen, the custom in the day was when a man and a woman got caught in adultery, they both got stoned to death. That's right. Stoned to death. Don't believe me? Read it. Deuteronomy 22. Read it. Stoned to death, y'all. Y'all imagine if we had a law that if we got caught having adulterous relations, that we was going to die, get killed. You imagine the adultery rate might plummet because people don't want to die, not up front. They don't want to die. If you knew the cost of it, the true cost of it in front, oh my God. Half the people would not even say, oh, they'd be like, forget it. Now there will be a people out there that will try to figure out ways around it because that's just what people do. But there will be a sect of people that will be like, you know what? Forget that. I'm good. But the thing I want you to recognize here is that Christ never called her out like that. He just says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I don't. Go and sin no more. Same thing with the woman at the well. He just said, woman, what's wrong with you? Five husbands, and the one you with is not your husband? What are you doing, woman? What are you doing? Are you out of control? I mean, he did not call her out like that. Folks, the thing I realize about myself and my life and about knowing Christ, this one thing, that sometimes I think that we in the church forget all the time, it seems like, is that Christ is about the soul, man. The soul. Christ is about salvation, man. We spend time on microphones talking about what we look like, our rides, what we got, our styles, this and that, all this and that. Listen, Christ is about souls. And if you're in a ministry that you say Christ is number one in, and you are not about souls, then you're missing it, man. You're missing it. I said it, and I meant what I said. If you're in a ministry, I don't care what it is. I don't care what your ministry is. Rapping, tapping, dancing, running, gunning, whatever your ministry is. If you say that you're doing it for the kingdom of God, and you are not about the souls, then you ain't about Jesus. You can't be about Jesus and not be about the souls because that's what he was about. Listen, man, the woman comes out. She was sentenced to death, homie. Sentenced to death, but Christ gave her life. He didn't give her a pass. He said, don't do it no more, man. Go and sin no more. Listen, I'm not going to condemn you, but the thing that you got to do is don't do it no more. Whoo, Lord, I done said something. I done said something, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. So look here, I'm going to tell y'all this right here, and I'm going to hurry up and get out of here. I'm going to tell y'all this. Pornography, alcoholism, being addicted to all these different drugs and things and people. I'm going to tell y'all something. God is more concerned about your soul being alive to him than he is with those things. Because I'm going to tell you, alcohol, cigarettes, cigars, music that doesn't honor God, all of these things, pornography, all of these things will not face judgment. All of those things have no chance of being thrown into hell. But if your soul is not alive to Christ, when you meet your Maker, then your soul will indeed be thrown into hell. Now that's real. No scare tactic. That's just real. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you the truth. The things that you are paying for when you go through that door after you pay your money, those things that keep you from honoring Christ with your life, that slowly kill your body, your mind, your reasoning, all of those things that do all of those things to you, they will not be judged. Oh my goodness. But you will. You will be judged. And I'm just saying to you, you got to be alive to God through Christ. And the only way you do it is you accept Christ as your Savior and your soul becomes alive to God through Christ. Amen. That's what's up. So look, to all my homies out there, man, y'all know I love y'all. All my homies from back when I was a little shorty to now being a grown man, I love all y'all, man. All y'all, man. We done all kinds of stuff together. We done ran chicks together. We done smoked in the corner together. We done got plenty of drinks and got towed down together. Now let's live together. Let's let our souls be alive to Christ. Be alive to God through Christ. Let's let that happen in our lives, that we might be alive to Him. And see, let me tell you, the beautiful thing about him telling the woman, hey, listen, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Now see, when life comes to your soul from Christ, then he gives you the ability and the power not to sin no more. Oh my goodness. I'm talking in here, man. Listen, I got to get out of here. Christ, man, is about souls. And we should not forget that. Don't get so caught up into the things people do. The lyrics they use in their songs and all that other stuff. Get caught up at chasing souls for the kingdom. Because that soul, man, that's it. That soul, that's the thing that gets condemned. Not the things. The things go away, but the soul go to hell forever. Y'all hear me? I love y'all, man. The Day Jesus Spoke, hiphop.com. Your man, Lynn. Keep praying for me. Y'all know I need it. I'm out of here. Peace.
Yeah, it's my drive and my passion. Reason I'm alive, pushing Christ to the masses. Feel my conviction. Listen, I ain't laughing. Feel it in the gut like a punch to the abdomen. Who is here to really be sincere? God is so jealous, I can't live with fear. I made plenty excuses year after year. I had to throw deuces at many of my peers. I wanted bright lights, but all it gave me is tears. Everything ain't what it appears, I can bet you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. I surrender my agenda, Christ's life forever.
I surrender
Listen, now I surrender my tomorrow. Now my